Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News. My name's Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend James.
All right.
And my friend Helen.
Hello.
First time, Helen?
Yes.
You ready?
I think so. I feel a little bit like I'm at an inquiry with this microphone. Like you're going to ask me to state my name, address.
Yeah, the Chilcot inquiry.
Yeah.
And the Rory inquiry. Listeners, you'll be pleased to hear that I'm back after a week of being away.
Although, wasn't it the record number of downloads the 1 week you weren't here?
Yeah, that did happen. Thank you, Sophie, Christine and Linda, for covering last week. Begrudgingly, that was the most popular episode.
Be honest, does it sting?
I feel like I'm ready to be more of an executive producer of this show.
Yeah?
I kind of just...
You've always wanted to move behind the scenes and...
I'll do a few bookings, you know, just book in political pundits and I don't know. I'll just focus on posting the things on Facebook and let you guys do the talking.
Get to the meat of the matter.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm back. Thanks, Sophie, for covering last week. I think I might need to do it again in a couple of weeks, so we could be looking at this podcast going viral if that's the case. But anyway, it's been another busy week for news. Don't know what I've got in my box of of articles, but there's only one way to find out. That's the facts.
Facts.
The facts. Okay, bit of a, yeah, not exactly like a news story this week. Because, I mean, I couldn't be arsed talking about that bloody by-election with Jeremy Corbyn. I
don't know how you could get like 10 to 15 minutes of amusing discussion out of a by-election.
Well, you never know. I mean, Corbyn is a joke, but that's an aside. This week I want to talk about Piers...
Storm Doris.
Storm Doris, were you affected?
I got blown. There was one day it was a bit windy and there was sort of a shift of wind and I stumbled into a woman and she just thought I had poor balance. So it made me look foolish. So
I guess you've got to take whatever excuse you can when it comes to touching members of the opposite sex.
Okay, yeah. I mean, bear in mind the second segment.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't get into that just yet.
Shouldn't trivialise.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah. But I just think we should stop naming storms such inoffensive names. Like,
yeah.
You're almost calling them out. Like, come on, Doris, what have you got? Call it Storm Damien, then people will be scared.
Yeah, Damien, was that the devil's name? Or was that
Yeah.
His son, the little
Damien, son of the
kid.
Devil, yeah.
Yeah, more menacing.
Mm.
But no, it's not Doris, it's not Corbyn, it's Piers Morgan.
Almost as bad.
So Piers Morgan, whilst not exactly being the biggest news story of the week, has been in the news a number of times in the last 7 days. I feel like it's going to be one of those years where he's around a lot. I think this could be his year. And that says a lot about 2017. If at the end we go, oh, that was Piers Morgan's year.
If he ends up on the cover of Time magazine, I'm going to kill myself.
you've got that here. That's a threat. But, so do you guys know about the J.K. Rowling
thing that's
been going? So what's that all been about?
So my understanding of it is that they have a little Twitter spat.
Mm.
So, to be honest, I don't know the full story.
Welcome to This Might Be The News. That's...
Oh my God.
Piers Morgan said something quite offensive to J.K. Rowling, slagging off Harry Potter, essentially. She then found a tweet that he posted a while ago where he'd actually really complimented the series. So just pointing out his hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So
I think that was like the latest development. I feel like it's been going on for a couple of months, if I'm...
Well, yeah, he does seem to play the card of, oh, all these people on my back, J.K. Rowling, leave me alone, but then does go and poke the bear, is that the saying?
The beast.
She's very good on Twitter, though. She absolutely savages people. And I also feel like if you're going to go after someone, maybe don't go after a national treasure.
Yeah.
Especially
someone
when you're not...
one of the most popular...
Yeah.
She's like a global treasure, isn't she? Cause...
Well, she's ours first and foremost.
She's ours, but like, is it just the kids of the internet love her?
I mean, everyone does. She genuinely seems like a good egg. You know, she gives a lot of her money to charity.
Mm.
She's always speaking up for things that, you know, she's advocating causes that it's very hard to disagree with, you know? Mm. And I think the other thing on the other side of this is that Piers Morgan himself... is not a darling of the nation. He must know this, that everyone thinks he's kind of a turd.
Mm. Well, I think he plays up to it. I think, I was saying to you earlier, I don't think he actually has any strong opinions of him himself. He just says what he thinks will be controversial.
So maybe I'm wrong. You think you're saying that he's like a professional troll?
Yeah. but just not a very good one, because I just feel very
meh. Well, who do you think's better out of him and Katie Hopkin?
Ugh.
Yeah,
which
but
is
that,
a horrible. Would you rather?
Awful.
Like shag, marry, kill. I'll kill both.
Kill both.
But again, she can't believe half the stuff that comes out of her mouth.
No.
Katie Hopkins.
I'd like to believe that she doesn't, but I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? Because I think there are people who do deliberately say inflammatory things to rile people up, like that Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah,
he's a really good example of someone who he will say things to rile people up and then go, I'm obviously just being controversial.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like a blanket excuse to just be a troll, say what you want. But I think people like Katie Hopkins and Piers Morgan, the kind of rhetoric they issue, there is a theme through it.
Mm.
And it's generally not very nice themes.
You think it's about sort of going against the tide, whipping up a bit of hatred?
Yeah, it's very anti-establishment, populist, you know, like Katie Hopkins, I think she's quite anti-immigration. She's always saying pretty offensive things about that.
Yeah.
Piers Morgan tweeted, you know, when over all the women's marches?
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted about how he was going to organise a men's day to fight the encroachment into his gender by rabid feminists.
We have had it rough us.
So yeah, those white middle class rich men that he's representing who've had it tough.
I can tell you now that's quickly going to turn into a pub crawl. I've seen that protest try to be organised before.
Just one in the White Horse, then we'll go.
Guys, should we just try and do all of the Monopoly stations? Or hit all of the pubs on the London Underground and then... What were we protesting against for? Oh, yes, men! Point proven. So, I mean, you've got to have mates to be able to organise something like that. And I don't think Piers Well, I guess he's Trump.
Yeah, I don't think Trump, he's probably got bigger fish to fry at the moment.
You say that, but I really feel he's hands off.
He'd be like, oh, that sounds fun. I meant much. Yeah. But he doesn't drink, so he couldn't do the pub crawl bit.
Trump doesn't drink?
No, he's teetotal. Anyway, we're not talking about him.
He'd be driving, what is it, what is it called? Bus?
With the wagon where there's like a square table where you're all pedaling.
Oh, the bike bus. I was picturing like the Popemobile.
Why the Popemobile?
But yeah, where like there's like 20 people sat around a desk driving
around.
Can you
imagine that? Like Farage and Morgan.
Piers Morgan. That's
a target. You'd have to have strong police force.
I think the police would be like, do you know what, you're on your own, guys. Like, we're not going to waste our time.
Just so they could get drunk.
Yeah.
So JK's been...
first name terms.
JK Rowling, Miss Rowling, has been getting louder and louder politically, and that's obviously riled him. And so there's been a lot of back and forth, and she basically started getting vocal during the Scottish referendum and then has stayed as a voice of,
the
Liberals.
I wouldn't say she's, like, as political as some people. I think a lot of her stuff is more, like, ideological. Like, it's kind of very like fundamental, like civil rights kind of thing. That's more her angle than go Labour, go Conservatives, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think she tends to just respond to other people rather than pushing it out there herself.
Well, Piers isn't having it. And so he's been hating on her, and then his son got involved.
He had the Deathly Hallows tattoo, didn't he?
he's got a Deathly Hallows tattoo tattooed on his arm.
Did anyone else see that and go, ooh... I quite want that.
I was gonna call him a twat for having that. So I was gonna. I had a different reaction.
We have got different views on this.
You'd get that tattoo.
I feel like I'm on trial now, but yeah, I wouldn't be averse to it.
The triangle.
Yeah, the definitely
triangle with the circle and the line through.
I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, and I think a lot of people are, and it'd be sort of like, you know.
Is there a cooler Harry Potter tattoo you could get?
That's what
Harry's face on your back.
I mean, there's nothing cool about... Like, Daniel Radcliffe is the least cool thing about Harry Potter.
Get a hippogriff on yourself?
Yeah, I don't know, some sort of Gringotts logo.
A goblin from Gringotts.
Yeah, we digress. We're pro Rowling in this debate. So that was the first thing I've noticed Piers being in the news about. Then there was this award ceremony.
Yeah.
So what's happened?
A lot of people said that they didn't want him to present it because they just disagree with him as a... as an entity.
What award ceremony was it?
Is I want to say like National Television Awards.
Something to do with television.
I think it was industry focused though. I think it was like the industry television.
It was,
awards.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. It was people who were going to be attending, who were going to be receiving awards saying.
Yeah, it wasn't the one where like Anton Deck turned up.
Yeah, I saw the director of that brilliant show, My Parents Are Aliens, had boycotted it.
Is that still going?
I don't know. It must be.
It can't be. Because I remember that from when I was 15, which would have been like 12 years ago now. Maybe
they,
like longer than that, like 15 years ago.
They cannot still be children.
No, absolutely not.
Like my parents are aliens and in a care home.
Yeah, retired aliens, just sitting there playing bridge.
But it was people flippers. Within the industry who were protesting.
And so he pulled out and then said, I'd have hoped that sort of the media would have been open-minded enough to have a debate.
Well, this is one thing which I do slightly agree with him, maybe.
Okay.
But his angle is all the liberals who are pro freedom of speech and expressing your ideas are now attacking him for expressing his own ideas,
yeah.
which disagree with their values. So I can kind of see that point, apart from the fact I don't think he believes what he's saying himself.
I think there's a difference though. Like if it were, so the Ewan McGregor interview, for example, so Ewan McGregor also pulled out of an interview with Piers Morgan
on the morning
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I think in that case, maybe he's got a point, because if Ewan does, again, we're first name terms, if he does disagree with him, he can go on that show, he can, you know, lucidly express his opinions and have a constructive debate. Something like an award ceremony where Piers Morgan has a platform, it's not a debate, people aren't responding to him, you can make the argument more that if the things that he's saying are offensive, if he's got a platform ready on this morning where he's peddling all these ideas that people don't like, you don't want to encourage that, you don't want to give him further platform, and if you've got the power to affect that, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it's also it's sort of inferred that he'd be representing the industry by presenting. If you look at like Stephen Fry presents the BAFTAs, yep, we're all on board with that. And Jonathan Ross presents the Comedy Awards, yep, he's a comedy man.
I'm not saying he's funny.
Technically.
He is someone who has worked in comedy for some time.
He has made someone laugh before. But Piers Morgan does not reflect the views of the wider media and TV industry. In fact, he goes against it and represents what a lot of people hate in this world. And I think on the Ewan McGregor point, though, people do not want a debate about Trump or whatever else. Or I think Ewan McGregor pulled out because of the Women's March.
Fine.
And Piers Morgan's views on it. People don't want to see that debate on Good Morning Great Britain.
Was he meant to be talking about train spotting?
Yeah, train spotting part two.
So you're not
signing
up for a Trump debate.
Again, is a light watch in the morning with your Cocoa Pops.
But I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Okay.
I'd love to see that first thing in the morning. Just straight away, wow, great. Because it is, whatever you say about it, yes, it might be awkward to watch. Yes, it might be stressful. But it is really compelling television. When you've got two people like that.
Yeah.
Especially if they're both quite well known and it does get heated. It's a bit like, you know, like one of the first, have you ever have it where your teacher and your mum and dad at like parents' evening got quite heated?
No, I was too much of a nerd.
I was an angel.
I mean, it didn't happen to me, I saw other people's parents doing it, but like you know what I mean? Like as in just two people who you both kind of either maybe not fear or respect, whatever, but to see them going at each other, you're a bit like, oh, what's going to happen here?
Well, that's how the Rowling, J.K. Rowling stuff started.
Yeah.
With Piers Morgan got told to fuck off on live TV. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because she...
And she was like, that's brilliant. So, yeah, you're right. It is quite compelling TV. Bit of drama. Everyone
that
likes
is a great
bit of drama.
Clip, by the way.
You can see from Ewan's point of view that if he's trying to promote a movie, he doesn't want to give 10 minutes of airtime to Piers Morgan's campaign of hate.
Yeah,
so
it's
time and place. They should just schedule an evening together to have it out. And then the other thing, obviously, this week was probably one of the most high-profile Piers Morgan live stories. He welcomed Nigel Farage onto the show.
I think he learnt the lesson of J.K. Rowling, because I think the blowback he got from that was basically everyone going, shut up, Piers, we like her a lot more than you. So he went... Who do people hate? Who if I go up against, might I actually be the one people side with?
Oh.
And he landed on Farage.
Well, yeah, so you guys haven't watched it, have you?
No.
I read a transcript.
Did you?
Like very briefly, about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, good
I know some quotes.
So I watched the first 15 minutes, and it's kind of set up like a sporting like a bit of sport TV, where both of them are talking about each other, going, so Nigel Farage is saying, Piers Morgan's a tough interviewer, but I'm a tough interviewee. And Piers Morgan's going, Nigel Farage has been interviewed by the world's top political correspondents, but I'm sorry, this is the real deal. And then Nigel Farage comes onto the stage, they greet each other like old friends, and it's basically like two people chatting away at a pub who totally agree with each other's opinions, going, like, Piers like opens with, Nigel, you're a bit of a character, aren't you? And Nigel, and then, like, opens with looking at a woman who's got Nigel Farage's face tattooed on her arm.
So built like, up as the Frost Nixon of our generation.
Not quite. And then it just turns into a pissing contest about who's best friends with Trump. Piers goes, how does it feel to be Donald Trump's second best friend in the UK? And then they're patting each other on the knee.
Okay, so the transcript I read...
Right.
Maybe... How long is the whole thing?
It's about the best part of an hour. I watched the first 15.
So I think it does get much more...
Okay, I was watching the foreplay.
Yeah.
You're watching the kind of... Feeling each other up. Okay, so what...
The erotic massage before...
Okay.
The aggressive...
I definitely needed a wash after watching it.
Yeah. I felt dirty just saying that.
So then what happened?
So apparently, I think Piers did challenge him a bit more specifically about a comment Farage made, saying like, I think this is during the whole like anti-EU thing. He said, how would you feel if a gang of Romanian men moved next door to you? Like, but no, yeah. But how would you feel if it was you? And I think basically Piers Morgan called him out and said, you know, that when you put a nationality in front of what is clearly like an inflammatory statement like that,
yeah,
you are in effect kind of like demonising that nationality.
Yeah, and inciting some extra hate on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you're inciting that hatred for those people. So I think, to be fair to Piers Morgan, in that one exchange, he did do something that wasn't totally reprehensible.
Slightly play devil's advocate.
And yeah.
Probably
doesn't believe it.
Probably passed him a note that said, I'm fucking terrified of the Romanians too.
don't send a group of Romanian men to my door.
That was the only challenging thing he did.
No, there was a couple of other bits. I think he basically, I think some of it was focused around the kind of rhetoric that Farage has used.
Did they bring up that poster? You know, the poster where he took a photo of like Syrian refugees going round the block,
and it was breaking point. Yeah, our country's a breaking point.
Which, yeah, it was totally sort of an irrelevant and misleading poster to publish in the final week of the EU referendum. But did Piers bring that up?
I'll be honest, mate. It was a very brief transcript.
You scanned a transcript. Helen hasn't watched it.
And you watched the first 15 minutes.
I watched clearly some sort of...
Also, maybe transcript was giving it too much credit. It was actually a Digital Spy article, which had a few key excerpts.
All the facts will be left unopened for another week. And so back to the Trump point though, because it feels like Piers jumped on the Trump bandwagon pretty late in the game and now is his biggest fan, biggest advocate in the UK at least. Do we think he's jumped on the bandwagon?
Yeah, I think, and again, maybe it's like, so your view of Piers Morgan is basically as someone who... He's like quite Machiavellian in a way, isn't he? He says things that he think will garner support.
Yeah.
And I think he's maybe thinking that Trump is the best political example of that. Yeah. And that like he's shaking up the... Piers Morgan, I think, is quite anti-establishment in his own mind.
Yeah.
And he's saying things that he thinks are shaking up Washington, when actually I think my view on Trump is that he is just a toddler saying one statement after another without any real understanding of how they interconnect or affect one another.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he just doesn't understand Trump in his full entirety, and that's why he's getting on this. He thinks they're kindred spirits and they're not.
Yeah, and at his core, he's a journalist and Trump gives interesting news.
Mm-hmm. But one thing then that is strange is because he was editor of the
Mirror?
News of the World and then the Mirror.
Yeah.
And obviously Trump is, certainly in the last few weeks, been very much anti-press.
Unless you're Fox.
Pretty much everyone's been banned, haven't they?
Yeah, but even Fox has said like that they don't agree with the banning. I would have thought, and again, it's that inconsistency of his principles. Piers Morgan, if he is at his heart a journalist, why does that not rile him up more?
Because Trump's just pulled out of the White House Correspondents' Ball.
Doing the dinner.
Yesterday, which under Obama was an absolute blast from what I hear.
Is that where Obama did all the really witty speeches?
Yeah. Where he did the
singing.
He did the Lion King thing, I think.
And I think he did his first mic drop there as well. Obama
was
mic drop.
So cool.
He was cool. He was in New York this week and people were just losing their shit seeing him. He's sort of the new Kanye and Beyonce. Kanye and Beyonce? No, it's Jay-Z and Beyonce, yeah. Kanye and Kim. I'm really not attached to the celebrity world.
Rory Woodbridge, celebrity guru.
You heard it from me. Cool. So, I mean, final thoughts on Piers. Do we feel like he's going to be around all year? Are we going to have to get used to this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like when someone farts in a room and it just lingers and lingers.
Yeah, I don't really understand how he's made this jump into entertainment. Like, what?
I think it was Britain's Got Talent.
But why was he on that?
He came up with the idea. He went to Simon Cowell, I've got this idea for basically a rip-off of X Factor. It's X Factor with juggling and dogs.
and Simon's like, that's the tagline.
Simon's, yeah, that sounds like a load of old trash. Let's put that on.
Fine. And I guess the caveat was, but I have to be one of the judges.
I get to be one of the judges. And then he sells a dream to the US. I'm a big TV personality. I work with Simon Cowell. They're like, yep, come be a presenter for 5 years. And then we get him back because they don't want him anymore.
No, is he not still presenting?
No, they sent him back.
Oh, because I saw one where he was doing something about gun control, but yeah. Just not getting to that now, that's a whole other thing.
Save it for another day. Anyway, well, thanks, that was the facts. I mean, they weren't facts, were they?
They were weak
Maybe
facts.
One or two facts, and then a lot of
waffle. Some speculation and some like homework for next week. We all need to actually watch that TV show with Nigel Farage. Anyway, thank you both. Task Force. So Helen, every week I get a call from someone quite well known.
Okay.
Don't know where they could get my number, but anyway, that's an aside. This week I had a voicemail from what's he called? I'll have to look him up.
Nick.
Travis. He's called Travis. Right. Not the band Travis. Travis has called me, and he said, "Rory, this is Travis. He works at Uber. He's the CEO of Uber." And he's gone, "I'm in crisis. Uber's in crisis. You need to help me. I need to get a grip on this." And he puts down the phone. I think he was on the run. And so I don't know what it means. Why? What's going on with Uber this week?
I'm sorry. I'm now imagining if Travis the band had called you and said, "Relaunch our career," and what we could do for that. I think it'd be a lot more fun.
It'd be easier to overhaul Uber than than relaunch the career of Travis. I mean, there was a time and a place, Travis. Get over it.
We're all a lot happier now. We don't need your mopey shit.
No, we need all the happiness we can get. Imagine Travis providing the soundtrack to 2017. I think the final few of us holding on. I'd make the suicide lemonade. Have a big kill yourself house party. So Travis at Uber is he's the CEO. What's been going on at Uber?
They're in disarray, I think is the only fair way to say it.
Right.
They've had a really bad week PR-wise.
Okay. And what's the main issue been, Helen?
The main issue has been around claims of sexual harassment. So a former engineer there wrote a blog post about her experience during her time at Uber. And it's all sort of cascaded from there. So I'm not sure if you've read her blog post. I had a quick scan this morning.
No, this is all news to me.
In a nutshell, when she first started, she received sexual advances on Instant Messenger from her boss, allegedly.
Okay. Allegedly.
I learned that from last week.
Yeah.
Have you back.
She reported these to HR.
Yeah.
Who said, "You know what, he's a good guy, he's a good performer, it's his first offence, we don't want to take it any further. We'll give him a stern talking to." And then she had the option of either returning to her team with the caveat that, "By the way, since you've reported this, he'll probably give you quite a bad performance rating," or go to a new team.
Right.
So that's number one. A series of things kept on happening. She spoke to the other women there. The number of women at the company dwindled. Every time she reported something, nothing happened. And she sort of got told, "It was your fault. Maybe you're the common link in all of this."
And was her work life getting worse? As
I think they were just desperately trying to transfer teams, to move around. She kept getting poor performance reviews.
Right.
So really systemic sexism in the workplace. And there was one little story which I quite liked where they were all the employees or the engineers were meant to get leather jackets.
Right.
Sorry. What are they, the T-birds? Like, who does
a little
that?
Perk.
That's classic like Silicon Valley engineer thinking, what's cool? What's going to get the chick?
Guys, should we then do a video of Grease Lightning?
Born to hand jive.
Anyway. So one day they then got this email saying, sorry, because there are so few women in the company, we can't actually buy the women any jackets because we won't get the discount.
And we get a bulk discount.
So they replied saying, well, if you can afford the jacket for the thousands of men, surely you can stretch to six for some women.
Oh my God.
The response was, if you women really want equality, well, this is me paraphrasing.
Someone needs to work on their email.
This is how Helen would have worded the email.
If you women.
Well,
their argument was that by not providing them the jacket, that was equality. Because if they were to get the jacket, they'd be more expensive and it would be unfair on the men.
Right. Oh my God.
No.
Okay, and so how did this end?
So she left.
She left.
Anyway, that was my quick scan of the blog post this morning.
Okay, well,
it's one side of the story.
It's true. I mean, I think, yeah, so it sounds like my first thing I should do is call back Travis and just go, this needs to fucking stop.
Yeah.
Because this is fucking unacceptable.
I mean, as well, I think since she said that, a lot of other people have come out and support. So, like, in theory, you could have one disgruntled employee and then it becomes like a he said, she said.
Yeah.
But a lot of other people said, no, this is a real problem. So I think it's now quite widely accepted that there's a problem there.
And he said he held a meeting, I think, with 100 female engineers from the company who all said, this is a problem and all you need to do to fix it is actually start listening to your employees.
Yeah.
And some audio from the meeting got leaked to BuzzFeed. I don't know why everything gets leaked to BuzzFeed, but anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just him saying, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so
well, I'll stop.
We're not saying it's him. But okay, so that's going to be my first piece of advice to him is, I think this is like such a shame, but also a reflection of how far we've got to go. When you've got a company that is supposedly as forward thinking as Uber, one of these new, born in the 21st century companies based in California, where probably like all the fruit's free and everything else, still with like just these regressive, ridiculous gender equality issues.
I was reading an article and it's sort of like the Silicon Valley's dark secret is that for all their, you know, progressive ideals, there is still a bit of a problem with sexism and gender inequality. I think Uber have 15% female employees within like the tech side, and I think it's mostly under 20% around across the valley. So I think it's something that needs to be dealt with across the board.
It's got to be dealt with at the school level, because if people aren't learning to code and learn that computer science is... Sorry, this is all getting very serious, isn't it?
Well, I agree with you. It's that there are certain industries where there will be more men because those are the skills that men traditionally learn.
Yeah, so people need... children and kids at teenage level need to be aware of the financial benefits and the life benefits of getting into these... whereas you know like how parents use like are sort of built in to groom their child to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
Throw in engineer, like software engineer, like a computer geek into the mix because I think that's where the real cash is.
You need like a nice patronising. This girl can be a engineer.
They need
engineer Barbie.
Coder Barbie.
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, we've really fallen into the
We've gone backwards.
Let's just throw a Barbie at the problem. I'll start sketching that now. I'll give you a clue. She's got glasses. Yeah.
Does she also have a fringe?
Yeah, she's wearing Crocs.
we've made it worse.
Don't write that down. I'm not going to give him that bit. So there's fundamental issues, and we know that there's always going to be. I don't think we'll ever tackle it fully, but we need to be loud. I think the Women's March was important. We've got International Women's Day coming up the week after next. That's going to be another very important time to be talking about this stuff. But Uber,
I think, sorry.
No, you go.
Well, you just need an HR team who aren't absolute cretins by the sounds of things.
We know some HR recruiters. We'll send over some CVs.
I've got an HR team in mind. Just go in and just go act like a normal company.
Yeah, it seems really basic, doesn't it? Like, if someone comes to you with a legitimate complaint, don't just dismiss them.
This guy's sexually harassing me. Oh, but no, he's really good and everyone, all the other guys really like him. Yeah. Right.
He hasn't sexually harassed any of them, so proportionately, he's still quite low on the sexual harassment.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, my alarm bells are ringing. It sounds like you guys have got some sort of sexual harassment cartel that you're trying to maintain. And yeah, just dismantle it.
Yeah, so zero sum, sexual harassment, never okay.
Yeah, agreed. Uber, in general. Uber's like, it seems bad stories just keep getting thrown at it. What could we do to just improve Uber in general? Come back to Travis with some good news.
I think in this situation, you know, when you've lost credibility, you need to borrow someone else's.
Right.
And in, I think the best way to do that for sort of minimum effort is to just get a celebrity that everyone likes to endorse you.
Okay, it's classic. Who would be a good celebrity match for Uber?
So in America, what do you think?
Well, I was trying to think of a celebrity that everyone likes, and the only one I could think of was Attenborough, who probably doesn't really represent a young tech company. So yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so we want someone young, dynamic. I did actually see Emily Ratajkowski. Is that how you say her name?
Is that the lady from the Blurred Lines video?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't quite what I wanted to reference.
Right. Yeah, probably not the most one to back up your feminist.
Yeah, what do you mean, the video that was accused of like being quite misogynistic?
Well, I mean, that is how she became famous.
Yeah. I saw her endorsing a new smartphone charger, and she sounded very informed. But so,
I mean, does anyone think of Emily and think smartphone charger and all like...
Oh. I do now, but I think that's just because I've seen that advert. But I think maybe, actually, do you know what? Maybe we're trying to get away, like, that could look like we're just going, like, sex sells, here's an attractive woman, everything's fine.
Who's, like, a maybe we don't strong want to gloss over voice it for feminism in America? Beyonce?
Madonna?
She's a bit too strong.
Too strong, maybe. She wants to play things up. Jodie Foster, she did one of the anti-Trump speech things.
Anti-something really bad.
It was anti-something that should be anti.
What about Brum?
Brum?
The little colored car.
I was just thinking, like, people. Oh. We don't want this to be tenuous. I think we want famous cars involved.
And Brum.
I'll be honest. Like, if you'd have said to me, guess what I'm thinking? I think I could have guessed for a millennium before I got Brum. Who even remembered Brum existed?
I know, like, the thing I'm going to worry about now is we actually got more listeners in the US than we've got listeners in the UK. And there's a load of people just going, what the fuck is Brum?
Google Brum.
Right, you spell it Brum. It was a car that every day his owner would put him in like a car park with the other grown-up cars and be like, you chill out, Brum, you go to bed. And then Brum would just like... Brum would wake up and like create chaos in the town. It usually involved a pot of paint falling off a ladder and Brum having to catch the pot of paint. But can you imagine seeing that on the TV going, if you book with an Uber,
you'll get Brum.
Brum might pick you up.
I think though they'd then get a slew of complaints of people going, yeah, I ordered an Uber and it wasn't Brum.
It was a Toyota Prius again.
Or a very small toy car.
This is useless. I need to go to Birmingham in this.
There were no seat belts and no roof.
And all he didn't take me to the station. He just tried to save paint. Yeah,
it was covered. It was covered in paint. I've got an orange arse now. but wait a minute. We could have other
I like famous, your famous car, Herbie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Herbie, the wacky races cars.
I mean, they're cartoons, so...
We can make them. The Batmobile.
Batmobile.
I feel like the Batmobile, though, like, in terms of production value, that's going to be expensive.
And also, can you imagine trying to get through London in the Batmobile?
Well, if you got the tank one from the new ones, just blowing up traffic to get to your destination.
So is the celebrity car that's endorsing Uber, is it doing an endorsement or is it the new car that Uber will send round?
Yeah, so I think this is the better thing to do, rather than just having it on the TV going, oh yeah, I'm Knight Rider and I support Uber. Good to know, Knight Rider. But as in, have these cars in the mix, but I don't know, even if it's just for a month, just to get everyone feeling good about Uber. I don't know what other cars
maybe
there are.
Maybe driven by someone that everyone likes. So you have like Helen Mirren in the Batmobile picking you up. I'm sure she'll be up for this.
I'd want Batman picking me up in the Batmobile, not Helen Mirren.
I think in terms of like wow surprise fact, you'd be, and then you'd probably be like, is Helen Mirren Batman? And that could be like a real.
I want Helen Mirren dressed as the Queen driving me in a Jeep.
Yeah, that'd or be like great. A carriage.
Yeah.
No, I want mix and match. I want Batman in the Queen's Jeep.
Okay, you want the Hoff in the Arkansas Checkerboard from Wacky Races.
Sure.
I'm impressed with your how knowledge did you know of famous that? Cars.
Yeah.
I don't know wherever these are all coming from. If you'd have asked me, like, name some famous cars right now.
If someone said, do you think Rory's an automotive expert? I would have laughed in their face. And then you've surprised me.
I can't drive. I don't even have a green license.
Provisional.
Yeah, and so
see my colour. I've got the pink one now, so I'm on the road.
But this is why I'm so reliant on Uber, and I really need to turn it around so that it's not the social stigma to riding with them.
I mean, look, if we do figure out that it's, you know, it's dying and there's no saving it, it's a sinking ship. I think there's Lyft, Lyft, Lyft. Okay. The competitor who are really big in America, and I think they're kind of like the Uber without scandal at the moment. Everyone quite likes them. They're doing lots of like nice charitable things. They're big on their social responsibility.
We were talking about this the other week, weren't we? It's so trendy to just get involved in some sort of activism and with the cars with clean water or driven by nice people.
Yeah. we build a well every time we clock 10 miles.
Yeah, I mean, that's not sustainable.
Also,
I see flaws in your business model there.
At a certain point, you'll just have too many wells.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the thing, it's like with the Brexit referendum when they were saying, oh, we can build a hospital a week. Do we actually need a hospital a week? When will it stop?
Yeah, who's going to staff these hospitals?
Will it end when I'm living in a hospital and a hospital is the only thing, the only kind of building? People have to go to school in the hospital, the library in the hospital, swimming in the hospital. I mean, it makes things easier.
Yeah, you'd never fear for, like, well, I'm not worried about getting injured. People would get too reckless, I think. Yeah. Like, they'd be sliding down the banisters going, if I break my leg, orthopedics are right there.
Yeah, across the corridor. Well, anyway, we better wrap up Task Force because we're running out of time. So the main things we've got is basically... Brum is going to be the... I love the way I'm going to do it. Brum will be the new face of Uber. And if you play your cards right, you will ride in Brum. Ride in Brum tonight. He doesn't come with a driver, by the way, because it's too small. He's also going to stand in the Brum.
Brum's actually just, you know, one of those pedal cars where you're just going along with your feet.
But it's free. The other main one is just like, fucking sort it out, Travis, because this sounds awful. Those are our task force suggestions. I'll call him back. I'll see what he makes of that. Thank you both very much.
Quiz?
The quiz. Helen?
I'm excited.
Beginner's luck plays a key part in this.
And knowledge?
Some knowledge. So you've listened to this podcast quite regularly and you get frustrated about us not getting, people not knowing the answers, and you think, I know the answers, this is really easy.
I do. But then I think it's the same as when you were younger and watched The Crystal Maze and you'd be shouting at them going, you're such idiots, it's so easy.
Having just done it,
it's really hard when you're on the spot.
You just did The Crystal Maze and it's actually not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's fun.
Is it the catching the money bit that's the hard bit?
Yeah, really hard.
The other thing...
Yeah, so I imagine my brain will go to soup.
Well, the other thing you've got to contend with is that like the answers are quite arbitrary in the... So I've and I'm not bitter about this, obviously, but I've answered things that are legitimately correct and your response has actually been, that wasn't what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So the game is, what is Rory thinking?
Essentially, it's guess what Rory thinks the answer is.
And if it all goes to shit, we have resolved this in the past of what number am I thinking of.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Question number one. You just say your name if you know the answer. As mentioned previously, Labour lost its seat in the by-election this week. What was the name of the constituency? They're both like, you bastard something.
James?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say like South Berkhamsted or something.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Copeland or something.
1 point to Helen.
Yes!
Copeland in Cumbria is the correct answer. Very good.
I'm not even sure I said a real place.
I made it up, but the people of that town are very unhappy with you. That's not how you say our name. Question number two. Why are councils being told not to name their streets after famous people?
James.
Yeah.
Is it that tourists are being taken there on like bus tours?
No, good enough guess.
I have no idea.
Could I go again?
Yeah.
Is it that famous people are suing them?
No. I think you might kick yourselves when you...
Don't name streets after famous people.
Quite guessable.
Are there too many Bowie streets now?
No, it's because all the celebrities are turning out to be pedos.
I don't think that's guessable. Okay, also, no, if you'd have said, don't name it after, like, old men who were famous in the 70s, I definitely would have got there. But I was like, yeah,
so,
what?
Basically, there were shitloads of streets called Jimmy Savile Street and Jimmy Savile Road, and now everyone's in an absolute mare trying to deal with all of that. So everyone's just, the councils have been told, just have a think about who you're naming streets
because
after.
Because in 50 years' time, they could...
Go with someone safer, somebody who's like been dead for 100 years who we can't dig up any new dirt on.
I think you could have phrased that better.
Okay, sorry, very good feedback. Question number three. There was good news for fans of tomato ketchup this week. What was it?
Helen, yeah? They have scientifically found out how to get every last drop of ketchup out of the bottle.
Correct.
I am a fan of ketchup.
It was the first thing on your... You thought this was what the podcast was going to be about.
I get most of my news from a little bit on the BBC website called Things We Didn't Know Last Week. And it's got little tidbits like that. It's great.
So how do they do it? I don't... We need to tell people.
I only read the headline.
Watch it. It's quite scientific. I watched it. It's involved. There's like a layer of stuff put on the bottle that basically makes sure it slides.
Oh, I thought this was like us, like with a nice scraping, just really diligently.
Oh, what, they just rolled out. There's an official way to get the ketchup out of the bottle. It's with a knife.
Yeah, or in a vacuum.
Anyway, so Helen's on 2 points. This is exciting. God. You can still reel it back.
Yeah, it's
going to
be unlikely.
Question number three. What are residents of Liverpool being offered a year of council tax holiday in return for? So a year of not having to pay their council tax. What are they asking in return?
Give us a clue.
I guess it's like it involves grassing other people up.
James?
Yeah.
Is it literally just giving information to police about crime?
Being a general snitch. Yes. No, it's about a particularly sort of bad habit of some members of the public.
James, is it fly tipping?
No, you're sort of in the area.
Dropping fag butts? Spitting?
Close.
Just naming things I don't like.
It is clean up after their pets.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, so apparently it's becoming a big problem in Liverpool. They need to tackle it.
Good.
So grass, yeah, I encourage it.
Yeah.
I trod into the dog poo yesterday and it was...
Outrageous.
Disgusting.
Just don't have a dog. It's like everyone knows going into buying a dog that that's going to happen. Yeah. Just don't buy one.
The worst thing is when you see the little bags of poo because someone's gone to the effort of picking up the poo and putting it in a bag and then just can't be bothered to put
like,
the bag in the
don't
bin.
Like the look of that bin. Final question. I think Helen's won this though.
Mathematically, yes.
So the other week, you remember, what did Metro encourage?
Yeah.
At the workplace.
Wanking.
Yeah. What are they now saying is a good thing to do at work to relax?
So on top of wanking.
Yeah, it's written by the same person.
James.
Yeah.
I just don't know how base they've gone. Like, is it pooing?
Pooing at work. I mean, you should feel fine about pooing at work.
No, I mean, I do, but maybe some people are more repressed and they're just there holding it all day.
Everyone stop holding that in. It's not a nice
Is it like having
do.
A nap?
Yeah, it's nap. Free at work.
No, it's not nap.
So it's not pooing, not napping, not having sex.
Correct, Helen. They've just said sex breaks. They've referred to it as sex breaks.
With
like,
your colleagues?
I mean, I don't
do
know.
Not let them go anywhere near Uber.
Like, the article,
they don't need those ideas.
The article's written like, basically, maybe I'm a dreamer, but I want to live in a world where everyone feels comfortable just like basically leaving the office whenever they want and going and having
going
a shag.
Going for a quick
nooner. A nooner. I've never heard it called a nooner.
I got it from Parks and Rec. It's a nipping off at noon for a quickie.
Oh, a nooner. Nice. What's a nice way
Yeah, I mean, that person, maybe they should just go and live in a commune because I don't think they're going to find that in any workplace.
Also, that's not healthy for work relationships, is it? If everyone's just getting up and going to shag in the toilet.
Sorry, sex break. Boss recommended it. Gotta.
Like, guys, we're getting nowhere with this meeting. We'll have a quick orgy in the gents, and then we'll come back and bash this out.
Already bashed one out. Did you get it? Anyway, well done, Helen. 3 out of 5. That might be like an all-time record.
This was one of those things where someone's obviously given a lot of chat and then totally backed it up. So fair play. The best woman won.
Thank you both for joining me this week. Listeners, see you next week.